All right, guys, we're live. This is the Wait, What If podcast. With me tonight is Savannah Steele and Moses Mitzner. We're actually live on Periscope right now under at WWI podcast, which I don't know why I'm telling you this, because if you're hearing this on the audio version, then it's already happened. And if you're watching this on the video version,
you kind of know.
Yeah, you kind of know how to find us. But anyways, yes, we are live on Periscope. So, before we get started, the first thing is business. Have you ever heard of the website Onnit?
Yes, Onnit.
WaitWhatIf.com/Onnit. What Onnit is, it's a total human optimization website. What that means is this place is, so GNC, like when I picture GNC, mm-hmm. I picture dudes with fanny packs, people buying bronzer and just, you know, kind of cheese sort of thing. With Onnit, it's more of science-based human movement with supplements that are also science-based. So they have, you know, kettlebells and stuff like that, right? So they have kettlebells. What was that? You're getting messages right in the middle of my thing here. What'd you say?
Please tell Kevin to follow me on Periscope so I can talk smack while you talking about zombies.
Well, do you know what? We can't, because we can't even read the screen, so it doesn't matter. So anyways, they sell kettlebells, but not only just kettlebells, they sell zombie bells. These are bells that look like zombie faces or gorilla faces or werewolves. They have all these really cool, they're like works of art. They have things called maces. Mm-hmm. Maces are like a long pipe at the end is like a cannonball. And this is like, you know, if you're having trouble with
enemies,
if you're having trouble with zombies,
small children,
then you can, no, these are not
meant, children.
These are not meant for violence.
Oh,
okay. These are, these are to work out
package.
And what
they put that on the package.
Yeah. So these are, you know, like you can do swinging and stuff, and I don't know. So here's the other thing. You look at it and you're like, what do I do with that thing? They also have videos. They have workouts. They have articles. If you're in Austin, Texas, they have a gym called the Onnit Labs, and you can go there, and they actually do jiu-jitsu there. They do all sorts of stuff.
I want to go there.
What products have you tried?
I have tried a lot. Really? So they have two different kinds of shroom tech.
Yeah.
So it's basically mushroom blends, but also a couple of other types of herbs. So one of them is supposed to optimize immune function. The other one is supposed to optimize, I guess, your sporting capabilities, mm-hmm. your athletic capabilities.
Yeah. Did you find it worked?
I think they're pretty cool. And I mean, a lot of the science behind the shroom tech, behind the different types of shrooms that are in mushrooms, and mm-hmm. A lot of that is pretty solid. It's pretty interesting.
Sure. Yeah, there's Shroom Tech, there's New Mood, have you tried Alpha Brain?
I have tried Alpha Brain. I actually took it today.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, in hopes that I wouldn't have word-finding issues during this episode.
So they actually did cognitive studies on Alpha Brain at the Boston Memory Center or something like that, and they found a significant increase in cognitive ability and word association, all these different things. If you don't believe me, you can go to waitwhatif.com/onnit. You can read the, you can look at all the different supplements. I mean, it's just a ton of stuff. So it's a great website. And if you're a listener of the WWI podcast, then you get 10% off if you follow that link that I told you. So that's waitwhatif.com/onnit. Go to the website, check it out. If there's something there you like, just remember you get 10% off. It's a cool site. I've tried lots of stuff from there. I use T Plus when I work out.
I tried that stuff. Cool. T Plus?
T Plus, yeah.
So what is that?
It's supposed to optimize your body's ability to produce testosterone. I don't know. It's got a bunch of things. Some things give you energy before your workout, recovery, things like that. And I would say it, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it works. I'm going to give it some time. But if it doesn't work, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you get to keep the supplement. So that's always good, too. If you don't like it, and they don't even ask for it back. You just tell them, and they say, all right, and then you get your money back.
How long have you been taking it?
This is the second time I've taken it. This one is about 3 weeks. I'm trying to deadlift 400. I'm deadlifting 340, but I don't know if it's just because I'm motivated or... And then I was squatting 300 the other day, and I did it 12 times.
What's your
three sets
squat?
Of 12. I don't know.
It's bad if you normally squat like 350. You
know? Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't really, because I when I work out with sandbags and kettlebells and just random things like that. So
you're like a caveman.
I am. Actually, have you seen my cave, my workout cave? I just have weights and stuff all over the place. It's not like your typical gym. I don't like typical gyms. I don't like sitting there and just isolating a certain muscle and, you know, doing the one leg and then doing the...
talking about me right now.
Oh, really?
That's I do.
I like functional lifting, like the kettlebells, doing snatches with those or doing cleans with a dumbbell, deadlifts, things like that. That's all functional stuff. You know, like,
yeah,
like, it's, you know, if you,
you
ever
can
had
use
to,
it if you ever are in battle or yeah. have to fight like an animal.
And perhaps that will happen. Today's topic is the apocalypse. We're going to talk about the apocalypse.
Dun, dun, dun.
I used to have music like that on here, but I don't anymore. I took it all off. I stopped using that stuff. We're going to talk about the apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
All right. So stay tuned. We're going to play our intro music. The people who are watching on Periscope, sorry, you're just going to see us sitting here looking like idiots for a minute.
You're listening to the Wait, What If podcast.
We're about to blow stuff up.
Say we were to walk out in the middle of the woods and find a 50-year-old moonshine bottle.
I think you could drink it.
I think I would drink it.
You know, his mom was probably really controlling and he wet the bed as a kid.
Reminds me of a strip club, actually.
Does it really?
Yeah, this is the champagne.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you put the money. You know.
I'm just going to eat this bacon and drink this whiskey.
Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
All right, I told you we'd meet you on the other side. We've already done the introductions and all that fun stuff. Just a real quick technical thing. Are you guys hearing it out of both ears?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. If I move my headphones, it works a little bit. Ah! Wait, this is a technical nightmare today. Did we have a solar burst? Or what are those called? Solar flare?
Solar flare.
It's supposed to be, right? Isn't that
terrorist attack?
No, solar flares are... See, I can't even hear myself. It's like glitching on this thing. Mm-hmm. But there's supposed to be a lot of solar activity over the next, year or so. Did you hear anything about
that? That's actually one of my topics.
Oh, really? Oh, all right, yes. We'll get into that. So society is obsessed with the apocalypse. It's on TV, The Walking Dead. You, Me, and the Apocalypse is another show that's on. There's countless movies. I mean, all the way back from the 90s, you had Deep Impact, and then the one with Ben
Armageddon.
Affleck, Armageddon. I mean, we're just obsessed with it. And I think because...
Sharknado.
Was that an apocalypse event, though?
It was for me.
Okay. So it's just something that I said. And I guess we'll start off with, why do you think? Why do you think we're obsessed with things like that? Why do you think?
I think because we want some excitement in our lives. I think that we are kind of becoming more and more coddled in a way. We're more and more coddled.
Right.
As society moves forward in time, we have more and more luxuries and any kind of discomfort.
Right.
For example, we get really, really mad whenever our technology doesn't work.
I hate it when my technology doesn't work, like tonight.
And that's because everything is so effortless.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a part of us that recognizes that, oh man, we need something.
It's just too easy.
Yes.
We need a D-Day or something like that.
Well,
that
also the
great
fear
depression.
Of losing that.
That's true, too. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, you can go to the grocery store, you can get food, you know, your neighbor's not going to kill you because you've got something he wants.
So says you. I have your house sighted.
Yeah, you do.
In case if the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm taking you out no matter what. I'll be like, hey, look zombie-ish.
I know, right?
He's got big teeth.
I'm afraid of him. I am not going to survive the zombie apocalypse.
I'll just show up and start shooting. And then everyone else will be like, I got him, guys.
Yeah. Kevin,
I'll lead them this way.
Kevin, that was just a bad dream. I'm like, oh, sorry. Is that so? Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a big thing with that. we like to be scared of the unknown. And a lot of this stuff now is known. I mean, what do I mean by that? I mean, back in like the 19, what year was it when Orson Welles did the War of the Worlds?
Oh God.
So do you know about it? Do you know what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he did a live read. Yeah. He did a live read of aliens attacking the U.S. and people lost their minds. They went out shooting. People went crazy and they were like, whoa, this is not good. So they had to stop the recording and all that. But people back then, I mean, they didn't have the internet. All they had was an AM radio. So they didn't know what was going on. They just knew what Orson Welles was telling them, and they were certain, you know. So I think it's just a sign of the times. You know, we're as knowledgeable as we are now, and I don't know where I'm going with that. You save me on that one.
All right, sorry about that.
So who wants to go first? Who wants to talk about their idea of what the... you can move that around, make it... comfortable.
I'll go. I mean, basically I did some research on this, and I mean there's two different classifications. There's global catastrophic and there's existential. Now global catastrophic risk is any risk that's at least global in scope. So I mean, when you're talking about that, you're talking about a virus that spreads through, it's going to affect the global population, but eventually civilization might come around, or okay, maybe not, but you know, it's not going to wipe out all of life. Whereas existential, on the other hand, is basically all civilization is gone. All humanity is gone.
To me, that's all there is, right? I mean, if you have something, you could have a catastrophe, which is just, I mean, right, it could be bad, it could be horrible. But if even a small group that has the ability to propagate the species survives, and it's not really an apocalypse, is it?
Well, and that's where
if it's a small group, man, yes, that's an apocalypse. Well, I mean, nobody's around.
Because people do hang out, like, The Walking Dead's an apocalypse, and there's still people around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess wiping out the human race does. But I would think, in my mind, the idea of right, if there's no more humans, then the apocalypse has happened.
Well, I mean, that's where they kind of go into the different versions. I mean, like, you know, when you talk about an asteroid hitting the world, mm-hmm, you know, I mean, I actually looked it up. I mean, you know, what size does an asteroid need to be? Apparently, to wipe out all life has to be 60 miles across. Mm-hmm. Now, the one that wiped out the dinosaurs was only like 78 miles wide.
So why would... Okay. Okay.
Now, what basically did, you know, like I think great gas plumes in the sky, and then I think they were talking about fires and basically boiled the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's happened more than people realize.
Yeah.
Like it's not just one of those things. Like, hey, what if? What if a meteorite is the one that hits the Earth? A meteor is one that's flying through the air, right?
No.
I don't know. There's some definition there, but
meteor, yeah.
So whatever. What if a meteorite hits us? It's not a what if, it has happened. I mean, right, it's all over the world
all the time.
Yeah, little ones.
Yeah,
but big ones have happened too. I mean, it's wiped out
Grand Canyon.
Is that well? There's no, some that
no. The
that?
Grand Canyon. The theory. Well, I don't know. Maybe the theory is wrong, but that was supposed to be a river.
Was right, it a river?
Well, yeah.
Well, there's
supposedly.
Two.
Not, it's not the Grand Canyon.
There's two. Wait, there's two categories of thought with that. You can actually look this up. It's called the Scablands up in Washington. There was a big lake up there called Lake, I don't know, it was a glacial lake. And there's two theories about how the Western United States, basically actually the entire United States, got its landform today that we know it today. Mm-hmm. And some people who are called gradualists think that it happened like that, you know, gradual floods from mm-hmm. this as the ice melted and it shaped the Earth. And then there's catastrophists who believe that that ice sheet was actually hit with a meteorite and it wasn't, you know, 5,000 years of ice melting that changed everything. It was like 2 weeks. And it was actually, that's, and I've brought this up so many times. It's like really the only big book I've read in the last year, or I didn't even read it, which is our other sponsor, Audible, trial.com/WDI podcast. But I had Graham Hancock read me Magicians of the Gods, and he talks a lot about that. So yeah.
So are you done reading that book, by the way?
Yeah, yeah, but it's an audiobook.
Okay. Whatever. I mean, you read it. It's in your brain. That's the important part.
Well, in theory, it's in my brain. Why? What, do you have a question?
I don't know. I really want to know what that's about, because I did give it to my sister for Christmas.
Oh, really? It's a cool book. It's about basically that. It's about that climate changes, the earth changes, but sometimes it doesn't take as long as we think. It doesn't take thousands of years, it could take weeks. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of evidence that said the earth back in the Pleistocene era, or the end of, it's called the Younger Dryas, which was like a mini ice age that happened 12,000 years ago, ended overnight versus ended over a gradual amount of time. And they say 65% or 75% of mammals on Earth or on North America died from this event. That's why we don't have mammoths. That's why we don't have, which is cool. Actually, I'm going to, I just booked a guy to come on the show, Tom Bell. He's an archaeologist over in Britain. He found, I just sent Stonehenge. This guy a note. Well, no, yeah, he discovered, so he's 400 years old. No, he found this thing's like the size of a guitar pick. It was the oldest Mesolithic, what's that mean? Like
Mesolithic?
Yeah.
From the
Stone Age? Is that what that is? Art piece they ever found in Great Britain. It's like 11,000 years old. And he's going to come on and talk about things like that. So stay tuned, everyone. That'll be a good one coming up. But yeah, so go on.
Oh,
scare me with the apocalypse. Right,
well, okay. Well, now here's another thing, a likelihood. Apparently,
yeah.
The probability from expert surveys for human extinction before 2100 is about 19%.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
1 in 5 chance?
Yeah. 5% from
quick molecular math.
I know, right? Molecular nanotechnology weapons. 5% from super intelligent AIs.
I agree with that one too.
And 4% from non-nuclear weapons, 2% engineered pandemic, 1% nuclear wars, and then the rest is just...
So basically they say we're going to kill ourselves. 1 in 5 chance, yes. We're going to kill ourselves over the next 100 years.
Right.
Not even.
Wait, so none of those are comets. They're nope. All exactly. Just us killing ourselves. Yes. 19%
chance. Well, I mean, chance. How long is the human... You know, race lit.
That doesn't add up.
That's the thing.
19, 5, 5, 4.
2, 1.
So what about all the other percentages?
Well, 0.5, 0.05.
Yeah, that still doesn't 0.5. Equal 100%.
I know it's not 2.
So, okay. I get I get your numbers here. 19 is the overall.
Of all and then those different five, okay, chances yeah. Together, coming together.
I would think that a comet would be, or whatever you call it, a meteorite would be really high up there. Well, I guess not.
Well, how many times has it hit us during the entire... I mean, in the last... What? We're in 2000s. I mean, the
85
chance
years.
Of having a major comet hit us and wipe out civilization within the next 100 years compared to the thousands of years that, you know...
That's true. And one way to look at that is when they say that every, say, 60,000 years or every 100,000 years or 200,000, whatever the number is, it's always a big number, we get hit with a massive... climate changing geology, would it be geography change? Like it's just a massive meteor. 85 years and that percentage is so small. Like the caldera, is that what it's called? The Yellowstone caldera?
Right.
It's a giant volcano.
Yeah.
So basically Yellowstone Park is just the top of a giant volcano and they say it could go at any moment. But in the span of the earth, any moment is now or like in 5,000 years.
Exactly.
So I guess that doesn't really matter, right?
It still makes me not want to live in Wyoming.
Oh, well, I know.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. If you live in Wyoming, you wouldn't even know it hit. But if you're us, it's like...
Right, then you've got to deal with it.
Yeah, then you got to run around with your AR-15s and...
Right, well, I mean, that's the thing. It's
shoot
like,
Moses.
Oh, man.
It's a caldera!
I'm just not going to survive any of this.
People are like, Kevin, it's not a caldera. It was a plane flying over.
Sorry, Moses.
Oh, damn. He's dead no matter what. All
right.
He's a zombie.
It's like
I'm questioning
what he was drinking last night.
I just wear my flak jacket outside.
I just want to shoot Moses. I'm just kidding, Moses. Yeah. I don't want to shoot you.
Yeah, I skipped out last week, and now I got to pay for it.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. So, okay.
Yes.
I got that. Ooh, are you...
What?
I just glanced over your paper. I'll let you talk, but... Are you about to bring up the Fermi paradox?
I was.
Yes.
This was Fermi paradox has been mentioned a few times on the Wait What If podcast. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's basically like why haven't we met anybody? And basically, it comes down to it like.
But what is that? Is that an apocalyptic thing?
It is. Well, they're basically saying that.
I know.
One of the reasons that is basically that we haven't reached anyone is because they probably had some natural disaster or maybe they killed themselves and they just never got to the point where they actually went out.
So what Moses is talking about, the Fermi paradox, is why we haven't had any interactions with extraterrestrial beings ever so far. And the paradox, it's kind of in depth. If you go to waitbutwhy.com, no relation to wait, what if, it was just a coincidence, but waitbutwhy.com has a nice, like, cartoony explanation of the Fermi paradox. And it talks about that, you know, let's say if Earth-like planets can pop up at any time across the universe, why hasn't one evolved a million years and be able to, you know, travel through wormholes and the speed of light and all this? And the idea is because they never live that long. If they're all human-like, they end up killing themselves before they have the ability to get that much technology.
Or they're robot overlords.
Yeah. You know. Well, if that was the case too, though, if it was AI or something.
Robots, yeah.
So one of the ideas of it is, if there's aliens out there and they're so complex and so high-tech that they can come to Earth, then it would be the same thing as if you go out and decide to build a road. And why you wouldn't stop and explain to the ants in the middle of the roadway why you're building the road, right? You wouldn't be like, hold on a second, guys. Hey, ants, we're going to move you over here. There's some bulldozers. No, you just ignore them, right? Because they don't know what you're saying, and they don't even see you. They don't even acknowledge your existence.
Yeah.
So they say that's another thing that could be going on with the Fermi paradox. So yeah, listeners, look up the Fermi paradox. Look on Wait But Why, and I'll give you a really good explanation of it.
See, I like the second explanation. It makes a lot more sense to me. Because if you can imagine that if we were to, presumably, if these extraterrestrial beings are so advanced that they could somehow travel to our dimension or our universe, then they probably have already merged with technology. They probably have lightning quick reflexes, lightning quick thoughts, and they've had all of the experiences that one can possibly have.
Right.
They have all those experiences within seconds. And so their perception of the universe of reality has got to be well beyond ours.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Or the lizard people, you know, that Rumsfeld was one. No, you guys haven't heard, there's this whole, like, I don't know if it's a meme or if there's actually people that think that there are lizard overlords, lords that, like, they've,
like, well, they think,
Google Don Rumsfeld lizard person, and you'll see that there's this whole thing that people think he's a lizard man, a lizard, yeah.
Really, and nobody thinks that about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. No, they think, remember that, did you ever see, that Mars, remember when the Martians invaded that
Mars attacks?
Yeah.
That was messed up.
I try not to get political in this show, but let me just tell you. Sounds very familiar to me. That's all I'll say. When there's a politician talking and I listen to that person, I hear this. Okay.
All right.
So that was your, that was your Fermi paradox. To put that in the sense of apocalypse, you think that, sum it up.
Yeah.
Is that, we're doomed because no life force has ever made it into that advanced area and we don't know why. And chances are we're not better than any other life force that's ever lived. So we'll probably just end up either killing ourselves or something will kill us.
Well, look, our percentage is 19 at 2100. I mean, what's our percentage going to be like 2200? You know what I mean?
Probably 19. I'm guessing it's going to stay. Yeah.
Well, no.
Well, do you know what? I think they're going to have
100%.
We're already done.
They're going to, that's right. They're going to have technology though. So for things like meteorites, they'll be able to.
Well,
to,
and that's where it comes, like, the moral importance of existential risk. I mean, that's the thing. It's like people talk about, you know, like all these different disasters, but, you know, what do you do about it? Like we talk about, like, the asteroids. So, okay, so how are we going to deal with it if an asteroid comes by? We're going to shoot, you know, are we going to put funding into this? You know, I mean, are we going to shoot a rocket into space? I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, but it's sort of like, are we going to do anything? Is it enough of a risk where we're going to spend time and money and effort to put something out there that could potentially, you know, stop, you know, Armageddon or... Mm-hmm.
It is. I think it is. I think that they should put a little more into it. Did you know that they're...
should we put a giant dome over...
No, but they need to be looking
and, what, you know,
and
but
come
I
up
mean,
with a plan.
But, I mean, that's the kind of thing where it's like, how much of a risk is it, you know, and how much are we going to invest in?
Well, it's happened in the past, so...
It has.
It's 100% going to happen. So yeah, it's just a matter of when.
That's true.
So to me, I'm like, yeah, it's enough of a risk that I'd like to have a contingency plan.
Do you know we put in money-wise, budget-wise, they budget the same amount of money it costs to run one McDonald's for 1 year into looking for asteroids? And then there's this area, and I can't remember what the...
That's an important thing, though. Yeah. McDonald's is really good food.
Well, I mean, you know.
There's a belt, and I don't remember what it's called. I want to say Kepler belt, but I don't think that's it. I think that's something else. It's like the... It starts with the TH. It's like the... I don't know. But there's this...
Kepler belt?
There's this... Yeah. There's this belt of meteors that we go through twice a year, and we go through it for 2 weeks. It happens in... June and then November, December, somewhere around there. And they say, scientists have said that it's equivalent to putting on a blindfold and running across a highway. Because, I mean, what do? We just go through it. Jupiter acts as a blocker and absorbs a lot of them. And its gravity pulls a lot of them in. But we travel through it twice a year, for 2 weeks.
Don't we know the size of the meteors that are in it? I mean,
I don't think
there
so.
Are there any that are 60 feet? 60
well, think
miles
about long? It. When we're traveling around, we're traveling around the sun, but we're doing it in like we're moving through space at the same time, and we're like, I don't think we can. Like, I think it's so random.
But you're
that
right
we have
about
no idea
Jupiter
what's out
because
there.
I think they say that one of the reasons that we survive so long is because of Jupiter's gravity pulling that stuff in. I mean, the asteroids are coming in, but a lot of Jupiter pulls that stuff in and blocks it from actually getting to the inner belt.
Oh, thank you, Jupiter.
Yeah,
I know, right?
You know what?
Jupiter,
I swear,
you rock.
People should wake up and thank Jupiter every morning that you're there. I do. I wake up and
Rome,
I say,
but, you know, he's old news now.
That's true. The there was another point I want to bring up about that. Have you ever flown over the ocean at lower altitudes? Mm-hmm. So picture the ocean, right? And then you put something small in it. So a 60-mile asteroid, in the grand scheme of things, let's say of our solar system, would be like a grain of sand. I don't know. Like in the middle of a stadium. You know, it would be really, really small. Probably smaller than that in size. Looking for that would be so difficult. And I bring up the ocean because you fly over the ocean. When I was in C-130s, we used to fly 15,000 feet or whatever. You could see boats. But they looked really, you're talking shipping, like we'd fly along shipping lanes in case we had to crash, we could be picked up by a ship. Mm-hmm. And you would see them every now and then, and you're like, man, that thing is tiny. And we're not even that far up. We're you're like, what, almost 3 miles up, not even?
Didn't something fly near the Earth really recently?
I tweeted that.
Oh, yeah.
You did? What was that?
It was a meteor. I think it was larger than the one that blew up in... Chernobyl. No, it wasn't that one. But yeah, that one injured people. But this one, it was like the equivalent to a Hiroshima or Nagasaki, just over the ocean.
Wait, so it flew over the ocean, but it missed the Earth, or
no? It blew up in the atmosphere. So it was like an airburst, they call it.
Wait, so if it blew up in the atmosphere, then it couldn't have been bigger than the stuff that hit Russia, right? Because that would have blown up.
I think it also maybe depends on how it hits. Sort of like if you're kind of skimming the atmosphere and you don't actually hit land.
Oh, right. Like when the Mars rover landed, they had to make it to where it landed sort of at an angle.
And it bounced around that ball
thing.
Like
if it comes straight down, it's not going to have as much time to burn up. But if it's coming like straight across, maybe that's what
it is. That's right. And the Tunguska, that's another event. It blew up and it just wiped out trees. So if you look at it, you can just Google the Tunguska event.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and it looks like matchsticks. And so that was the sort of event that happened. But can you imagine, it was over the ocean. Can you imagine if that just landed over New York City?
No.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And nobody knew it was coming, did they? Because I always thought that we would have, I thought there were astronomers who were constantly scanning.
Yeah, but it goes back to the speck in an ocean, right?
You're also looking at this one point in the sky, and then, you know, it's like, right over here was that asteroid, but you just decided to go a little bit.
Is that really? I didn't know that was the case. I'm just ignorant, but I had no idea that.
Well, I think it also, I guess you'd have to be looking for it, and maybe depending on how far out you're looking, I'm not sure, but I mean, sort of like depending on the lens you're looking. So if you're looking far out, you're not going to see that one meteor that's like right here. Like if you're looking out into...
I guess that makes sense.
So it would be as difficult to see as it is for listeners to hear your voice because you're 4 feet away.
Sorry about that.
Okay, I got you.
So what we need is like an AI or some sort of scanning technology to be doing the scanning for us now.
That on can a constant see a lot. Basis.
And that's where it comes to, well, that's what we're talking about, the cost.
Yeah.
That would be really cheap. I can design that.
Well,
I'll
SETI.
I'll set it out and make billions of dollars.
Yeah, go write that up. Let me know how that works out for you.
Well,
but yeah.
So what do you have as far as apocalyptic events?
Okay, so there's the...
I was asking...
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's like, well, page 47 of...
Exactly.
Oh, wait, or did
I
you...
I haven't even gone into the actual book.
Yeah, let's... Okay, so I actually have nothing, so let's...
Oh, okay.
Let's
all right, go, then.
Move forward.
Okay, so there's anthropogenic, which is basically man-made.
Wait, say that again?
Anthropogenic.
Anthropogenic, okay, yes. So...
Basically states, the Cambridge Project states the greatest threats to the human species are man-made. Artificial intelligence, global warming, nuclear war.
Yeah, but that's sort of like that could potentially be sort of a philosophical kind of bias that humans have. We always kind of want to believe that we are, that those things about ourselves.
Well, I mean, when you look at the rate, you know, the chances of it, I mean, so far... Getting to the point where we actually have the ability to destroy ourselves, mm-hmm. the Earth or the universe has not killed us yet.
Well, how do now, we know? Actually, that may not be true. So I thought in Magicians of the Gods, one of the things he talks about is the fact that maybe there was a previous civilization.
Oh, yeah. Then
right?
He gets into that. Yeah. That there are, you know, the civilizations that we know about, sure. But he starts with Göbekli Tepe, which is
yeah,
the 12,000 year old megalith.
Talking about that, where, the Toba eruption in Indonesia about 71,500 years ago.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
I was in fourth grade. Yeah. No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Basically, he was talking about like wiped out most of the human population and only a few tens of thousands of individuals survived.
I don't think, there probably wasn't that many people back then either. But yeah, they say there's multiple times where the human population has gone down to tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And now we're back. The AI thing I thought was interesting, which you brought up there. Now, here's my thing. There's a book out there called, if you would like James Barrett, it's called Our Final Invention.
You told me about this like on the very first podcast.
Really? It was a really good book. If you don't have time to read it, you can go to audibletrial.com/WWI podcast and get your audiobook version. See, the great thing about it is that you get a free audiobook. So you can read you can have this book read to you for free while setting up your free trial.
That's awesome.
Wasn't that just smooth how I just did that? Anyways, the book.
I've actually done that before with Audible. It's pretty rad.
Yeah,
I like Audible. So here's three people. You've heard of Stephen Hawking, right?
No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You've heard of Elon Musk?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Nick Bostrom?
Nope.
Okay. He's a philosopher type of guy.
Oh, well.
He's really smart. Well, Hawking said an AI would take off on its own. This is an artificial intelligence and redefine itself at an ever-increasing rate. He equates it to receiving a message from an alien race. And then I wrote something in my notes here, but it was during work. So I write, you know how you ever read a doctor's script pad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I write. So I can't even read my own writing. I wrote something there, but whatever. So, I know what he's saying now. He's saying that basically he equates it to us. This is talking AI in general. We know that it's coming. We know that it's going to be here. We know it's possible.
Yes.
And the fact that we know that is equivalent to us receiving a message from an alien species that says, we're going to be there in 10 years. And then we just write back, okay, we'll leave the lights on. And then we go about our business.
I'm sorry, what?
So he equates the AI being... Okay, he equates to the arrival of artificial intelligence.
Right.
To is if a alien species sent us a note that said, hey, we're going to be at Earth in 10 years. And then all we say is, all right, cool, we'll see you in 10 years. We do nothing to prepare for it. Because we don't know what they're going to do. We don't know if they can get here. Are they going to kill us? What are they going to do? And an AI is essentially an alien species.
Right.
It's non-human. It's conscious. And it has a purpose-driven existence. And it comes here, and it's going to share this planet with us. That's what Hawkins says. Musk says pursuing AI is summoning the demon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the human race's biggest threat. It's more dangerous than nukes, and it needs international regulation like the IAEA, which is the International Atomic Energy Agency or something. I don't know what the A stands for, probably agency. And then Nick Bostrom says, I don't know what he says because I wrote it down here. Oh, he says, machines would mobilize and eradicate humans, replay pathogens, and recruit humans. I don't know what the hell I meant by there. But basically, he means they're going to say, hey, we don't need you humans because why? I mean, it would be, in the book, Our Final Invention, he equates it to this. Okay, and then once we're done with this, I'm going to have you can tell me your thoughts about it. So, imagine you wake up in a prison, okay, and it's guarded by mice, and you have a way of communicating with them, and you want to get out of this prison, obviously. And how would
we
you
talked
get
about
out?
That on our first podcast? Yeah, too.
How would you get out? You would manipulate the mice, right? Because they're mice. Who cares?
Smush them.
Yeah, you'd smush them, or you'd say...
Or you keep them as pets.
Yeah, you'd say, hey, mice, I know how to make cheese. I can make you all the cheese you want. And those mice are like, can you really do that? You're like, yeah, just let me out. I'll show you all the cheese. In fact, I will give you most of the cheese, and then you can be the top cheese.
What if you could put them in silly outfits, too? So, and it would really suck.
I could make little outfits for you.
I really don't want the AI doing anything.
Well, if they built
a
prison, I think they might have. I actually picture them in little,
talking like,
in little prison guard
Hitchhiker's
uniforms.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, those mice?
I never read that. I don't.
Have you read it?
I haven't read it, dude.
Oh, never mind.
Sorry.
I was too busy being cool back in high school.
Well, apparently I wasn't. So you know what? Do your homework.
I was also really cool in high school.
Crickets.
What?
So, but that's going to be what AI is. AI is going to.
Well, it could be what AI is, but I think Ray Kurzweil would make the point that all technologies that we've developed have had the capacity to destroy, but ultimately we've used them for better, more good than for ill.
But because we can control it. An AI that is a superhuman. So there's three levels. You have AI that we have right now. I mean, our phones that we're broadcasting live around the world off a piece of plastic the size of a deck of cards. First off, that's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. But that's AI. I mean, Siri is AI. Our watches are AI. I'm not wearing mine. But it's an intelligent, it tells you information at a subhuman level. And then there's human AI, right. And I don't remember. It's like there's generalized and basic, and then there's basically the superhuman.
Right. So something that's, I guess, conscious about of itself, presumably.
But smarter than humans.
Of course.
And because it can replicate and it can fix itself, basically.
Well, smarter than some. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's people like me. Out
there, yeah. So. ColecoVision. You're saying that there's AI. Never mind. So, in my mind, that was a funny joke.
No.
Okay. Here, I'll give myself the one person clap.
Very nice. Thank you.
Anyways, you get to this higher level, it's going to be able to replicate. Basically, it's going to picture it like a, what do they call that? A conflagration? A fire that you
conflagration.
Can't. Conflagration. Thank you. A conflagration. Can you use that in a sentence, please? Conflagration. C-O-N-F. but yeah, it's if you start it, we won't be able to stop it. And we could say, all right, we'll just pull the plug. But chances are, if it's this smart, it's going to have already determined that you're going to pull the plug, and it's snuck out somehow.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There was this thing about a guy who, he was like a millionaire, and this apparently happened, but it's become almost, what's that called? Urban legend. Yeah, but this really happened, but not to this extent, but I'll tell you the urban legend. A guy who had a $1 million prize to say he was going to act as an AI. They could only talk through texting, and he was going to get out of the box. And there was another human, and his point was to keep you in the box. And 5 out of 5 times, he got out of the box. So he talked his way out of being in this virtual prison, this AI prison. And you could say, well, that's impossible because...
Wait, was it the same person that kept letting him out?
No, it was different people.
Okay.
It was, look that way. No, it was like, there were rules, you know, you had to talk your way out of this supposed box. So you're basically unleashing yourself into the world and you're supposed to be the AI. So it's a way of saying, how would an AI get out of this box, get out of this, like if we kept it in a room instead of letting it go out onto the internet or whatever.
Okay.
And the idea is, well, just put someone that says no. You know, no, I'm not going to let you out. No, yeah. But this thing is so smart, it'll be able to be like, hey, Kevin, You know, you think I photoshopped, but it'd be like more than photoshopped. This video of you murdering someone, check out how real it is. And I'm going to send this to the police. And you're like, can you just plug me into the internet for 5 minutes? Okay. You know, or here's your bank account. I'm about to wipe it out. Or here, you know, it could mess with you and manipulate you. And they say it could manipulate, once it did got out, it could manipulate the stock markets. It could manipulate weaponry and manipulate humans to the point where they're like, you know, you could say, hey, group of humans over here, we'll make you the overlords if you wipe out these ones over here. And
you know, the one thing about the AI taking over and everything else like that, the one issue I've got is, who's to say that they're going to be anything human-like? When I say that, I mean, you know, have drive, ambition, fear, anything along
those. Well, that's what AI is.
No, AI is self-aware, but it doesn't mean that it's going to have emotions.
I know, but...
It doesn't hurt, feel, it doesn't have...
Oh, sure, but it has to come from something, right?
No, I know. It could understand, you know, I mean, they say, like, our intelligence is knowing that we are...
It's called self-awareness or self-consciousness.
Yeah. And okay, so if he's self-aware and it can talk and it can reason, doesn't mean it's going to say, well, I've got to take over the world. It could, you know, but I'm just saying it. Who's to say that it's, you know, it's going to be a.
No, and that's bad. True. Yeah, and that's.
I agree.
That's a logical really argument. Right. Yeah. But the where they get worried is that you got to read the book. Read the book, Our
well,
Final Invention.
Three Rules, man.
What's that? Don't talk about Fight Club?
No. Isn't it iRobot where they can't...
Oh, yeah, they can't hurt people or whatever. Ex Machina.
Yeah, that was actually came into my mind forcibly when you were talking about how the AI would get out of the box.
And that's
exactly what she did.
That's the whole premise of the movie is, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really good.
It is a good movie.
The whole premise of the movie is this is an AI and it needs to get out of the box. But you know, it's not really, it's a robot, and this guy goes to they do a test on it this guy who he's like a Mark Zuckerberg or like just, you know, rich millionaire guy that lives underground in this really cool lair. And he invites this kid in to interact with the AI to tell him how it works, and if he thinks
it passes, you know, the Turing test, essentially.
That's right, yeah. And he, so that's basically the premise. But he, this thing decides that it wants to get out. It doesn't want anything to do with this test, and it's pretty good. Mm. I won't give away the ending.
Thanks.
Everyone dies.
Oh, again.
Yeah. So there's another thing they can do is repurpose molecules with nanotechnology. This AI. So repurposing, let's say the AI is like, you know what? I want to live in perpetuity. Perpetuity. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to live forever. And what we're doing now, I can't really live forever on fossil fuels. I can't live forever on the nuclear power. I need something better. So it designs nanotechnology. Nanotechnology can take a molecule like this piece of paper right here and turn it into whatever it wants to by cleaving and basically little molecule builders. And so the idea there is they let these things up. You know, first you have one nanobot, then you have two, then you have eight, then you have 16, then you have gazillion, you know. It doesn't take long till they're taking over the Earth.
I mean, what would be your incentive to create other you? Like, I guess I would want to have friends. But then maybe if I got bored with my friends, I would want to create more friends.
Well, no, it's not about the friends. These nanobots would actually, their job would be solely to make
more.
Well, no, but yeah, to make more, but they're not intelligent. They're just making the energy from the molecules that this AI would utilize.
Why would the AI want that?
Because it needs to exist without energy.
So it needs energy.
Yeah.
So then it's the question of, okay, how is there a finite amount of energy? And that's something that I think now is being held in question.
Well, yeah, they say this thing could take off into the universe, you know, and it could populate Mars, and these little nanobots could make it over there. And then, which is kind of funky, and I've read this once before, that once you get to this level of technology and you start using nanotechnology, and you can manipulate molecules and you get to Mars, you can basically hardwire the solar system and then hardwire the galaxy, because these machines will land, they'll replicate, they'll harvest the energy.
Well, they need to land. They won't really need to have physical bodies, right?
Well, that's what they I picture little robot men getting out and harvesting.
That probably won't be necessary.
Yeah. But and when it comes down to it, though, if there is an AI, why would it need us? We would just be the mice.
Maybe it would look at us like puppies, though. I mean, I would want to take care of my puppy, and I would want to, maybe if I could, upload my puppy to the web, just like I'm uploading myself to the web. But
then you go to bed at night, and you just go, shooka, 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 and you're like, come on, dude, I'm trying to sleep. It wants to play. You ever do that when you want to play and your dog doesn't, and your dog actually is just like, get the hell away from me?
It's usually the opposite.
Oh, really?
Stop. I don't play with the ball anymore.
So yeah, AI. I think AI is a definite one. When are we gonna? When do you think the zombies are gonna come? I want to talk about the zombies.
There's not gonna be zombies, and actually, any kind of pandemic is gonna be, you know, it's gonna be globally affecting. But I mean, you know, people in large cities.
I know, but how boring is like just dying of flu, and we could die of zombie virus.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Prefer... It's where the zombie comes and gets you.
I don't understand. I would always win. I'm pretty sure against a zombie. You ever watch Walking Dead? How do they ever get caught? They're just, yeah.
No, it's like, oh, I'm looking over here.
Yeah.
Well, the 28 days later, zombies were really...
They were fast. But that was a disease. That was a virus.
That's one that, like, they were angry. I mean, that was the thing. It was like, you know, it actually made the most sense of any zombie movie. I think that one made the most sense of how zombies could actually... Sorry.
how zombies could actually,
you know, work. I mean, because... It wasn't like they were. It was like they weren't dead. They were, you know, they were crazy and mad.
It was like rabies.
It was like human rabies. It was like, yeah, like the worst kind of rabies ever. And
it's,
you know,
called
and
rage. I think
that's what it was exactly. Called, yeah.
But it was like, you know, and it affected other people. That made the most sense. Like I could actually kind of see that as opposed to like zombies. And eventually, at the end, they started dying because they weren't eating.
Yeah.
So
he gave it away. But yeah, that's what happened.
Sorry.
Well, wasn't there? There were some drugs that were like some illegal street drugs that kids were taking.
Bath salts.
Bath salts.
Yeah.
Was it just bath salts?
It was. Like, oh yeah.
There were a bunch of different weird ones.
There was K2.
I mean, there's always something.
Spice. All those were synthetic marijuanas, and they were just really, really strong. So they're putting people into psychosis.
Well, the people were. I mean, I think that there was a story about people having.
Yeah, a guy ate somebody's face.
Oh God.
Yeah, that was in Miami.
And he lived. The guy whose face got eaten. Didn't he live?
Oh, yeah, he was a bum.
Yeah.
I mean, homeless person.
What, we're not PC here.
Not at all.
You said you don't Twitter?
I didn't even know that was a bad term.
I don't know. It's like...
The greatest thing happened on Twitter today.
Challenge people.
What happened on Twitter?
Do you go on Twitter?
I don't do the Twitter.
Twitter's great. We talked about this at the beginning, but I was trying.
Right?
We were talking about this at the beginning, but everything was malfunctioning, so I wasn't really paying attention. But so, Twittering... I do the Twitter with it. No, it's... I love it because
you do in your own time.
This is the best thing about it. It sounds like I'm doing an ad for it. What I love about it is, let's say you're watching a debate or something, and you're just kind of sitting there and it's quiet. You go on Twitter and just people are trashing each other, and it's like watching it in a group of rowdy people. And you can like troll people by saying, "Hey, you know," or whatever. So today's big thing, the big hashtag that was trending was the triggering. And this group of people, I mean, there was like 200,000 tweets on this. They were trigger warnings and microaggressions and all these things that the college kids are afraid of today. You know, like, have you ever heard of that stuff? Like a trigger warning would be like, they say you shouldn't clap because clapping can be a trigger for some people who are afraid of loud sounds. Or you shouldn't, you know,
that goes back to our coddling of the human species.
So people on this was like an against that whole thing, and they were just, it was people twittering like stuff that would just make social justice warriors and kids in college now's heads explode. It was wonderful. That's a little bit of a tangent, but I thought it was great. I think another big thing that could happen with the apocalypse is, and I wrote this down, is religious freaks. Is people who, so I watched this documentary, I don't remember, it's on Netflix, it was about a group of evangelicals that go out to Israel, and they look at all the places that are in the Bible and stuff. But this particular group was all excited because they were all excited. You know, half the time they were talking about all the signs of the end of times, and they went to the temple on the mount, and they're like, oh, if this temple gets destroyed, the Jews will rebuild it, and that'll be the end of the world. And they were all happy, and they're like, oh, I can't wait, and they were psyched about it. And I was like, what? I don't want that to happen. What are you talking about? They were all really, really excited about it. And that's just one sect, Christianity. There's also,
what about the ones that
set off nukes in New York or something?
The ones who castrated themselves and
But I think that's a big.
They went to Disneyland that day.
I think that's a big threat when people want to hasten the end of the world because they think their prophet is going to come back because of it. That's a huge problem.
It is, but that comes down to any kind of terrorism or any kind of act of. If they release terrorism.
Well, yeah, you can debate a political ideology and sometimes sway people's feelings, but you cannot debate people about religion,
right?
Because they get, to them, it's salvation. You can't convince
them. Well, it questions their worldview because your religion
releases that plague that releases it. Is it the zealots who want to see the end of the world? Is it the government wants to?
Well, what I'm getting is I think there is a group that would do that. I think that's plausible that someone wants to end the world, and I think that could happen. I would make it at 14%. I just calculated that in my head.
We're all goners.
I think 19% for the 19.
Yeah, 19%. Let me see. What was it? 5% was nanotechnology weapons, and non-nuclear wars was 4%. So,
But see, there's more people who don't want that, and they have the ability to create defensive weapons. So it's possible that they can foresee, ideally, that's what we hope. I would like for maybe our group of smart people in our species to start working on. I wouldn't necessarily want the government to be involved with that just because I'm not sure I can trust them to.
So you're talking like a anti-apocalypse group.
Yes.
Like a team of Avengers.
Like four or five that have special abilities. This seems really cool.
Thinking about it,
Sorry.
I like to think that there are people, when I worry about a terrorist getting a hold of a nuke or something, I like to think there's people that, because I can think of it, I'm pretty sure the government's thought of it, so I'm hoping they're keeping track of those people.
We had that kind of feeling before 9/11.
Yeah.
We all assumed the government knew what it was doing, and it knew what to do. And I think we question that a lot more these days. And I think, we know what to look for, what's already been seen before, but I don't know how good we are at seeing something that hasn't been tried before. I mean, look at the people shooting up the stadiums over in Europe or that kind of events. I mean, if somebody were to actually get the right kind of technology, who's to say they couldn't release some kind of
I think that
massive destruction.
Yeah. And at this point, maybe they don't even need to release a bomb or anything like that. Maybe it could just be literally something some sort of cyber warfare that could seriously take out a lot more people than a bomb, I would imagine.
Exactly. I mean,
they could shut down our electrical grid. That's all you really need to do. You shut down the electrical grid, you can't pump gas, you can't drive trucks, you can't deliver food, you can't do medicine, refrigeration goes, diabetics die because their insulin isn't, it's like you lose.
And then the people themselves take each other out, so,
Think about,
and then Kevin comes and shoots Moses.
Yeah, it's the first thing I do. I know, right? I'm like, every morning I wake up.
End of the world, boom.
Every morning I wake up and I sight in his house and I go, oh no, I hear birds. Everything's okay. It's not the apocalypse. Putting the gun away. One of these days, someone's going to shoot you, and they're going to come straight to me. They'll play this in court. Mr. Sullivan, did you say this? I did, but
it was a joke.
A total joke.
You said this three times,
and you laughed about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we're doomed.
Yeah.
What do you think? How do you think it's going to happen?
Oh, I mean, I look at trends. Happen. Let's look at the trend. Our trend is that everything in civilization has gotten better overall. I mean, that's sort of what I pay attention to.
So thinking,
I keep a positive outlook.
You're thinking overall. like Star Wars, those planets with it's just all nice and everyone's got their.
And when we talk about AI, one of the things, I think you sent that article about Kurzweil saying that, AI will probably possess love and emotion, which I don't understand that completely yet. I'm sure he's right, but
did you listen to his Star Talk yet?
I have a podcast that I downloaded, but it wasn't the same thing. I guess StarTalk must be something else from what the podcast I listen to.
Oh, StarTalk is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, I thought I downloaded that, and it seemed like he was playing snippets from Kurzweil, and then he was going back to talk to his friends about the interview with Kurzweil, and I felt like I missed the. I have to do some research, but anyway, I had a point. So my theory maybe is that, so even Kurzweil says, he talks about how in a few years we're probably going to have nanobots that we inject, and perhaps those nanobots will be able to kind of synthesize circuits in our brains that are, you know, appropriately positioned such that they can behave in the same way that circuits behave in computers. So that if, you know, we gradually kind of transition ourselves into
machines.
So in essence, we will kind of be the AI, and maybe that's what we need. We need human-like intelligence that processes at the speed of a computer, and that will give us that component, and that's all I want, because the AI can then help us solve the problems. I mean, this is sort of Kurzweil's thing, and I can't think of anything more clever.
Well, that would also be the end of humanity as it is today.
Well, that's okay.
As we know it.
I mean, how do you define humanity, though?
Right.
That was good. I didn't even realize that.
I missed it.
And I feel fine.
He did the REM.
Sorry.
Aww, yeah, I missed it completely.
It's all right. What was I going to say? I actually think that, you know, I mean, look, we were at the Cold War. And, you know, as far as man-made, you know, war against each other, I mean, you know,
War games?
Yeah, I mean, no, great but movie. I mean, you know.
Did you ever see that?
I did.
Yeah.
I had a point.
Would you like to play a game? Hello,
hey
Joshua. He said everything he typed. You never saw War Games?
Yes, I saw War Games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I lost my boy. No, I was going to say, like, you know, I mean, Russia and America were ready to just throw nukes at each other, but the reason we didn't, because we knew it was pretty much game over for both sides.
It was mutually assured destruction,
and that's where I think the only thing that would save us is a lot of this technology probably would get to that point. You know, I mean, look, I mean, it's 1%. If you ask somebody, you know, in 1960, 70, that percentage would probably be over 80, 1%.
85.
Yeah, I mean, it would be over 1%. It would be like 10%.
That was going to be the end of the world. Yeah, it shifts.
Yeah.
It shifts. But they also made it seem really cool as a child.
Wait, what percentage are you talking about? I'm missing this. And I'm wondering if the podcast listeners might be missing it as well. What are you talking about exactly?
Oh, sorry. It's talking about the total percentage that we were going to
human
extinction by 2100.
Right.
As a overall probability of 19%.
Yeah. Right. But then you were pointing to 1%. You mean the nuclear wars.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And you're saying in 85.
Around that time frame, if you asked the same group of people, they probably would have given a much higher percentage to that.
Yeah,
but now it's only 1%.
Yeah,
right. Well, that was our biggest threat, and it's still a threat today. But it's like not even an option anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nukes aren't an option.
They aren't.
I think they are. I mean, there's times when you actually want to
use them
because we haven't had to. But the option's always on the table.
Yeah, well, the option has always been on the table. But I mean, in the Cold War, I mean, we were right there.
Yeah. Well, that was because we had two well armed countries that were facing off at each other. But like Iran, we can always say to Iran, hey, keep your act together because we can drop some really heavy shit on you if you don't.
Korea. I mean, the only reason
they're going to say North Carolina. I'm like, a bunch of freaks over there.
Yeah. No, that's...
I don't know. They say North Korea has a nuke. I don't know if it's functionable.
No, I mean, they have nukes. I mean, they've done tests. I mean, they've done the explosions. They've done you know, they've seen from the seismology that it was an actual explosion. I mean, they said they had the neutron bomb, which I think is an overstatement, but...
I don't even know the difference between a neutron bomb and
it's just more powerful.
I think a neutron bomb, isn't that the one where if you were to detonate it in a city, everything around it would die, but all the structures would remain intact?
What's a neutron bomb?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of
like
crazy.
An off switch?
Something like that, yeah.
Just drops dead around you? Creepy.
I know, right?
When I was a kid...
I want his stuff.
When I was a kid, I used to think... Actually, I would say up until I was a young adult, like when what was that thing? The bug, the Y2K bug. I was like, bring it on. I thought this would be a great, front seat to the end of the world.
I know.
I mean, you know, I figured I would still survive.
But wasn't there like a point where you're watching the clock count down? You're like, here it comes. Yeah. Here it comes.
Here it comes. Yeah. And there was like, Happy New Year. And we're like,
I'm alive.
That's it. Yeah. but I kind of, when I was younger, I was like, I wanted to live through that chaos. I thought it would be awesome. But now that I'm married with kids, I'm like, I hope that doesn't happen. Because I'll have to set up Fort here and shoot my neighbor.
Shoot me. Four times.
Yeah. So we've been on for an hour. I think we've pretty much accomplished nothing like we usually do.
No.
Do you have anything technology-wise, anything that's blowing your mind right now?
Well, it's weird that you should bring up Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And how he's kind of afraid of AI. So I follow him on Twitter, and I was just checking Twitter today.
Which, by the way,
I don't normally do.
All these people are afraid of AI. Shouldn't that make us afraid of AI?
No, because not all of them are afraid. I mean, it's Elon.
It's just the smartest people in the world.
Well, they're not stupid. Mm-hmm. But I think that it could also be, it's one of those, it's more of a, it's not a brilliance thing. It's more of a where you are in your lifetime thing. So I think this actually was in the Idiot's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
Or Hitchhiker's.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
It's all good.
you were pointing to him and just idiot. See, but
the Idiot's Guide to the Galaxy. That'd be mine.
Well, there's just a quote where it says, you know, when you're young, new technology is awesome. Hmm. You know, when you get to a certain age, it's, you know, annoying. And then when you're over that age, it's a danger to the world. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that Elon Musk is of a certain age.
VCR.
How old is he?
He's like 40 something, which is beyond the age of 35, which I think is the age that this guy gave, or I made that up because it's my own bias. But yes, it's interesting you should bring him up as not being a big fan of AI, because I think today, or at least this was maybe announced 11 hours ago, there is a DeepMind. They have a I guess it's a deep learning, essentially it's a company that Google acquired, and they are working on basically manufacturing AI. They came up with a game or a computer program that can play a game. I think it's called AlphaGo. I've never heard of it before. It's kind of crazy. It sounds actually pretty interesting. But it was able to beat this very famous AlphaGo player. His name is Lee Sedol or something like that.
Yeah, isn't Go with the black and white circles?
I would have no clue. Okay. I've never heard of it before, but yeah, I mean, it's complicated. It's not like tic-tac-toe.
So they made a machine that can play a game?
Yeah. And okay. I mean, because it was able to beat this world expert player.
For some reason, the computers just couldn't win this game. Like chess, they could, but like
I'm picturing like Othello or something.
Yeah, it's like that, I think.
But it's but what's crazy is that I wouldn't have known about that if Elon Musk hadn't have retweeted about it. And he said, congratulations to DeepMind for making this amazing feat. And I thought that was interesting that he said congratulations. I was like, that seems distinctly non-Elon Musk-esque.
Especially
if he's in his bunker right now.
Yeah, he's like, congratulations.
He's like, it was DeepMind.
Idiots. Did you hear about this new way that they're talking about traveling to Mars? They can do it in, so they were saying like, what is it, 14 months or something to get there? And now they're saying they can do it in 3 months, or maybe it was sooner than that, 30 days.
Oh, wow.
So it's a type of propulsion. It's called photonic propulsion. And it pushes objects with mass-free photons, which makes no sense to me. But apparently you basically put up like a giant sail, and then you bombard the sail with a laser, and the energy from that propels you forward. So it'd be like sitting on a sailboat and going and having that work. But this one you're doing with photons.
Well, yeah, they talk about like solar sails for, you know, as propulsion. You take, you know, because the sun is always sending out photons. And, you know, and it actually captures it, and you can actually move very fast within the solar system.
Yeah, this is 30%. They say the technology is already there, and it's not to manufacture the technology isn't more expensive than the technology we're already doing. So this is kind of a big thing. Mm-hmm. They said that the speeds it'll be able to get to are 30% the speed of light, which I don't know how fast it is, but that's pretty damn fast.
What?
Yeah. So you take something that's
And it still takes 3 months.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And then I did think about that because I'm like, well, how far away is Mars? Mars is pretty freaking far away.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Like, I don't know how long it
takes. How big is our solar system?
It takes like 34 minutes.
How many light years is our solar system?
It's not a light year. It's a couple hours, I think, it takes for the light to reach Pluto. Which is still, think about that. You turn on a light. To us, it's pretty instant, but the light takes three or I don't remember. It's a number of hours it takes to reach Pluto.
But also...
That has been... Pluto's not a planet anymore.
No, it's not. They found a new planet.
I know. How cool is that?
You get your nerdy joke.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, they found a new planet. It was like a dark black planet. Like they can't see it or something. And they just know it's there because... I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they do.
Right.
Did you ever hear of the Anunnaki?
No.
The Anunnaki, and I think I'm saying it right. I think it's the Anunnaki. Believe that there's a planet that shows up in our solar system once every 6,000 years, or maybe it's 60,000 years, or maybe it's six. I don't remember. It's a long time. And what they look for is our gold, because our gold, they use it for something. Mm-hmm. And so they took the monkeys here and they did a little bit of experimentation and they turned those monkeys into humans. And then they took off again because they had to, their planet was leaving. So they were riding their planet away again and it's supposed to come back soon.
I saw that documentary. It was The Fifth Element, wasn't it?
The Anunnaki? Was it something like that?
No, The Fifth Element.
Remember
the planet. Anyway.
It might have been based on that.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's it. They found that other planet. It's the Anunnaki. They're coming back.
That's right.
Everyone thought they knew what everyone thought they had the right religion and everything. And then these freaking aliens
You know what? We always need
harvest our gold.
We're like, we'll find some religion. When's your end of the world date? Like, ugh. Yeah, set my clock to that.
Did you read my tweet where they were watching monkeys, and there was a group of monkeys. They saw them putting rocks into a log, or it was like a hollow tree, and they're like, "Why the hell are they doing that?" Monkeys, they use simple tools for simple tasks, bashing bugs and eating their guts or something. I don't know. Like, you ever see them take the stick and they stick it in a tree and they pull out the ants and they're like. So everything they use, they have a purpose for. But they're like, why are they putting these rocks in there? So they go over and they look at them, and they're piled up for no use. And they're thinking it's some sort of social religion. They're doing a ceremony of some sort. And then they found it in other parts of the world where there's other monkeys. Yeah. So they think monkeys have some sort of very primitive religious type of understanding where they were – that was like a ritual.
What kind of monkeys are we talking about?
I don't know. There's a lot of different. I'll just picture the prototypical monkey in your head.
Well, I know, but I mean, there's.
I think one of the.
We're talking apes. We're talking baboons. I mean,
I think one of the great apes.
Like just little. Yeah.
I don't think it would be the spider monkeys. They just fling.
Yeah, that's
shit
what I'm
at
saying.
You.
It's like. You know.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Yeah.
Huh.
Check out. You can find tweets like this at the Wait, what if tweet? Yeah, follow my Twitter at waitwhatif.com. I talked about everything I want to talk about. Any other cool tech things? I don't know, pretty wild stuff. So we talked about the end of the world. Hey, do you know what today is?
The end of the world?
This is the 1 year anniversary of the Wait What If podcast.
No way.
Oh, come on. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the 1 year. The first guest of the Wait What If podcast was Moses Mitzner. I don't even know what we talked about. I listened to it just recently. Actually, I tweeted it out and
what did we talk about?
I don't know, but we were like this. So this is the Wait What If podcast.
What do you want to talk about? Let me just get my notes here.
How are you today? It's very nice over here. So many people are going to listen to this. They're going to love it. This is great. Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is nothing has changed.
We're rock stars.
Nothing has changed.
What? Apocalypse under the world.
No, much more animated today.
I think Moses.
Got all these facial expressions now.
Definitely.
You were trying to imitate Terry Gross from like NPR.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's been a year.
And what a year it's been, Moses. I mean, we've had Super Bowls. We've had lots of fun stuff. I think my voice has definitely come a long way.
It's really good.
Imagine if I talked like that during the podcast. I'd probably listen to it. Just kidding. So that's that. I think I did all my plugs. You need any plugs you want to put in?
No.
At Savvy Steel.
That is my Twitter. Please follow me. Although I don't really tweet, so
you got to tweet.
I know.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say Conan O'Brien's really funny, and Jim Gaffigan. I follow them. They always post really funny things.
Really?
Just in case you want to laugh.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Till next time.
Like us on facebook.com/WWI Podcast and at WWI Podcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.
And we're live. Oh, I just lost half my audio. Are you freaking kidding me? Do you hear? Can you hear?
I hear.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, I'm live. I lost my audio. It's my headphones. It's these piece of crap headphones.